Both at the White House and on Capitol Hill today, the chief topic of conversation was, once again, Iraq. Two Senate committees heard from former national security advisors, American diplomats, and others who added their weight to the case against Saddam Hussein. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Sandy Berger, President Clinton's national security advisor, told senators today that while Saddam Hussein's possible use of chemical and biological weapons pose a real threat, it's the Iraqi leader's potential nuclear capability that should worry the U.S. and its allies. That fear was bolstered yesterday when British Prime Minister Tony Blair said Hussein has sought to buy uranium on the black market to build a nuclear bomb. Nonetheless, Berger said, the U.S. should do all it can to build international backing for military action. Working unilaterally, he said, risks further trauma to states throughout the Middle East and Central Asia.
In a way that undermines governments such as Jordan or Musharraf in Pakistan, and worst case, leaves us with a radical regime in Pakistan with a ready-made nuclear arsenal.
Appearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee, Berger said every president reserves the right to use military force preemptively. But in the case of Iraq, he said, President Bush could set a dangerous precedent for American foreign policy.
To put out a new national security doctrine, which says that we're no longer in the business of deterrence, to do that in the context of this discussion of Iraq, it seems to me is a mistake. We're now saying to the world, Iraq is the rule, not the exception.
Ronald Reagan's former national security advisor, Robert McFarlane, told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee the White House should more clearly articulate its preemption policy. But McFarlane said war against Hussein wouldn't really amount to preemption because the Iraqi leader has flouted international law for decades.
For 20 years, he's been afforded the opportunity to demonstrate a change in the aggressive behavior expressed in his invasion of Iran and of Kuwait, his repressive brutality against his own people, and his obvious ambition for regional hegemony.
Congressional Democrats have complained that the draft resolution the president recently sent to Congress gives the president open-ended authority to move against Saddam and others in the region. The president wants a congressional resolution before one is passed by the United Nations. Former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Richard Holbrook, told North Carolina Republican Jesse Helms that working through the U.N. was in the national interest, but was not vital.
Why do we even need an additional resolution?
Well, as I said in my opening statement, it is highly desirable but not essential because the basis for collective action exists already.
Former Defense Secretary under Presidents Nixon and Ford, James Schlesinger, told senators that for too long Hussein has played the game of defiance with repeated violations of UN resolutions. A tough and swift congressional resolution authorizing use of force, Schlesinger said, would bolster the United States' diplomatic hand with the UN. And he said disarming the Iraqi dictator is not really the ultimate goal. The real objective is regime change, Schlesinger said, and that talk from the White House has now put U.S. credibility on the line.
If once again, after all of the rhetoric that we have employed on this subject, we back off and that regime stays in power, many of our critics who are criticizing us today for being too aggressive will turn right around and say, you see, Osama bin Laden was right. The Americans, they're wimps. They cannot stand the sight of blood.
The veteran White House advisor downplayed the idea that a new Iraq war would significantly detract from the ongoing war against the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. Indeed, at a White House appearance today, President Bush echoed that idea. The president said Hussein and bin Laden were one and the same and, quote, equally evil.
They work in concert. The danger is that Al-Qaeda becomes an extension of Saddam's madness and his hatred and his capacity to extend weapons of mass destruction around the world. Both of them need to be dealt with. The war on terror, you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror.
Hearings resume tomorrow with Secretary of State Colin Powell. Also on deck are two of Powell's predecessors, Madeleine Albright and Henry Kissinger. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.